It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here together learning Torah on a Thursday night, just a week before Pesach, celebrating a Siyum by Evan and Yaakov, really a source of inspiration for us. As I said before, it's great to see so many of the Chevra back, some new faces and some returning faces. We have Eretz Yisrael faces over here also, which is a zechus for us. Tonight's shiur is sponsored both by Evan and Bonnie, Yaakov and Hannah, in honor of their Siyum, celebration of their Siyum, which is tremendous, and also by Nir and Lynn Evanchen, in loving memory of Nir's grandparents, whose yurt sites were the end of Adar. This year was supposed to be in Adar, but I had the problems with the voice. It should be in Eloy and Lezachus for the Neshama, regardless if the year was in Adar or in Nisan. Mordechai Yehuda ben Betzalel and Nasha Elisheva Bat ben Yamin Mordechai. Then Shama should have an Aliyah. Nir had a very special relationship with them when he was in Israel for the year. He spent every other Shabbos in Petach Tikva in their home. They were survivors. His grandmother of Auschwitz and his grandfather of work camps in Europe. They're from Kloisenberg. Nir told me a story which shook me to my core this afternoon, that his grandfather, Alav Shalom, had a Sefer Torah and he kept it with him. He went to the camps, and he had the Sefer Torah with him. He hid it, and they were working in the airports, the fields, the yards, filling craters and potholes. And he would often bury the Torah for a couple of days until he was able to come back and utilize that Torah. That Torah is still around. Nir's father has it in Eretz Yisrael. We should all be zoche to be there soon and use that Torah. But to see their great grandchildren. Learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, involved in chesed and community, is the greatest, like, game over, Hitler. We won. The Torah is being learned in Eretz Yisrael with Mesiras Nefesh, and it's really it's a very appropriate way to honor their memory by sponsoring tonight's shir. Thank you. It's also for Refuah Shlema, for Mordechai Yeshua ben Malka, Yishav Refuah Shlema Bekarov, and we should see him soon in town here for Shabbosim and Yom Tovim, enjoying your company. Tonight's shir is on Yachatz. Yachatz is one of the parts of the Seder. It's perhaps, with the exception of Motzi, we do the least in Yachatz. We break a matzah. And I want to try to understand a little bit what really is behind Yachatz, what we're doing, like we do often in the shir, to try to add meaning to what we're doing so it's not meaningless, it's meaningful. Explain in pshat and on a deeper level, and hopefully you'll come out, you'll have what to say a little bit, at least on Yachatz. Not as many divrei Torah on Yachatz as there are in Magid. Hopefully we'll have what to say as well. And I'd like to start with a story I read this week, which in speaking to different chaverim, friends of mine this week, people either loved the story or absolutely hated the story. I'll leave it to you to decide. I happen to love it. I'm a little bit of a cynical person in general. But you'll decide on your own. There was a great Talmud Chacham in Europe, Rav Moshe David Schiff, who miraculously escaped Europe in 1938 and made it to Eretz Yisrael. His entire family was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Yizachram. Not one person survived. Moshe David Schiff, he was a great, great, great grandson of the Maram Schiff. You learn in the back of the Gemara on Rashi and Tosos. Moshe David Schiff comes to Eretz Yisrael in 1938, and he got a certificate from Merkaz Harav. And he sat and he learned with Bechavrusa, with those who would become the who's who of religious society in Eretz Yisrael. His Chavrusa was Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, who was a chief rabbi in Yerushalayim from 1977 till 1987 when he was Nifter. We have some of his Svarim upstairs, the Mishnas Yaivetz. He was the Chavrusas with her Moshe Tzvi Neria, who was the founder of the, putting you on the spot, yeah, the Bnei Akiva movement, the first Bnei Akiva in Kfar Roeh, and many of the Hezder yeshivas. Yehuda Gershuni, he was another popular figure. He was, this is the type of person he was, a massive Talmud Chacham. He got engaged to a girl from Tel Aviv, from a very prestigious family. And as was common at the time, the Kala's brothers wanted to make sure this guy was a legit Talmud Chacham. So they wanted to give him a test, the Bechina, Faher. So their uncle was Rav Avram Chaim Na. Perhaps we've heard of Rav Chaim Na. He's famous for his shiurim. You hear sometimes the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Noah, how much wine do you need to drink? It had 3.3 ounces, 2.7 ounces, 4.9 ounces, 1.7 ounces. How much matzah? How big is the kezias? How big is the kibitza? Reb Chaim Noah, he was a massive, massive gadol in Eretz Yisrael. He was the Kala's uncle. So they asked him to test this bacher, Moshe David Schiff, to see if he knew what he was talking about. So he comes over, he gives him something to eat. I'm not sure they had south side and brisket egg rolls, but he gave him a little to eat. He shot the breeze, he said, I'll start the Bechina now. Pesach is coming up, so let's start with questions on the Seder. He says, why at the Seder, we wash our hands two times, right? Urchatz, Rachza. Why do we call it the same name? Why is one Urchatz and one's Rachza? I'm sure we've heard this question. There's many Divrei Torah, Sunday night, come to the Vad Haggadah Shir, shameless plug, maybe you'll hear an answer to that question. Maybe not. Urchatz, Rachza. Let them both be Urchatz, or they're both Rachza. A lot of answers to this question. This is where Moshe David Schiff starts Pilpulim, Gemaras, Rishonim, Achronim, Shah, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim, brilliant. Every answer he gave, Reb Chaim Noah dismissed it. That's not enough. Dismissed it. This young guy is getting exasperated. Why are you giving me such a hard time? What's the answer? You tell me the answer. You don't like my 20 minutes. Brilliant mastery of Shas. Brilliance. You don't like my answer, so you tell me the answer. He said, I'll tell you the answer. It's very simple. The author of the Simanim, Mr. Rishonim, either one of the Bali Atosos, maybe it was Rashi, that Abu Jaham quotes it already. The author of the Simanim wanted people to be able to remember. He wanted it to fit as like a song, a mnemonic. So it rhymes very well. Kadish Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Magid Rachza, Motzi Masa. So he says, that's the pshat. The pshat is so the song can rhyme so we can remember it. Now, why do I love this story? Because so many of the Divrei Torah related to Pesach, and I'm not making fun, Chas V'Shalom, they're all unbelievable and they're beautiful and every piece of Torah has layers and layers of pshat. But often we give so many fancy explanations and lose sight of the pshat. And sometimes the pshat might be as simple as so the song could rhyme. They're also deeper pshatim as well, but we can't lose sight of the pshat. So tonight I'd like, in talking about yachatz, to talk on a practical pshat level and then build to something and some you find some beautiful, beautiful insights. So let's start from the beginning. Why do we break the matzah? Well, let me not ask it like that. Why do we have broken matzah? There's a nuance in that question. Why do we have broken matzah? Simple pshat. What does broken matzah have to do with lachimoni? Poor people either stash away bread for later on or can't afford a full loaf, right? They're getting a slice of bread. So that's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Psachim in source number one. The Gemara writes, Tanya Nami Hachi. We have a supporting brisa, lechem oni. The Torah refers to lechem oni. And there are a couple of explanations what lechem oni means. Lechem she'onin alav dvarim harve. Oni from to la'ano, to answer, to speak. It's bread that we speak about. We speak over. Magid is started with halach ma'anya. We speak about the bread. That's one explanation. Davar acher, another explanation. Excuse me. Ani k'siv, lechem oni is missing the vav. It could be read lechem ani, ma ani, darko viprusa, afkan viprusa. Just like an ani, his way is to have a piece he can't afford, or he's saving a piece for later, like Michi said. So too here, the matzah, the lechem oni, we have a piece. That's why we have a broken piece of matzah. So now I'll ask you, when should we break the matzah? When should we break the matzah? Before you sit down?
Yeah. You want to have
broken
on the table, right?
What? Why? Let me, before I ask you that, someone tell me something different than Charlie. Before we eat it. I understand. Why are we breaking it an hour and a half, 2 hours before matzah? Maybe some people, 3 hours. 40 minutes. What time did you finish? What? Why do we break it now? No, break it by mochi matzah. Before you have matzah, the whole point is lechem oni, Lechem ori ma ani beprusa afkan beprusa. So right before, skip. Don't have yachatz. Kadish urchatz karpas magid rachza yachatz. You wash your hands and then break the matzah. So when you have the matzah, it's broken matzah. In fact, the Rambam learns that way. The Rambam doesn't have yachatz in the beginning of the Seder, like we have. If you look in source number 2, the Rambam tells you in Parakhes what happens at the Seder. Maschil mevarach bor pri adama. That's karpas. Velokeach yarek. You take a vegetable. Umetabe also becharoses. Dip it in charoses. Veyochal kazayas. We pass not the way we eat less than the kazayas. No one should have less than the kazayas. The Rama says then we move the table, we do magid, we pour a second cup, manish tana, and then take a look at the end of the third line. You wash your hands, you wash your hands a second time. It's a long break from the first time you wash your hands. You take two pieces of matzah, and you break one. After Magid, after you wash your hands. I think, Charlie, that makes the most sense. If the whole idea is lechem oni, have the matzah that's broken, matzah's broken, so break, why are we interrupting in the middle of karpas to break matzah an hour and a half, approximately, before you're having the matzah? We're not holding by matzah yet. You can't eat matzah yet. Right? That's what I would say. That's what the Rambam says. So I saw a few explanations. What did he say? I'm not coming back?
I mean, the bigger half is put away for Afikoman for later, right?
Right.
And that Afikoman, as we know, is often hidden, and then it takes time to do that.
You're saying it's done like this so that we can play the Afikom again.
Well, because the whole idea of the Seder, a big Indian, is getting the children involved.
Right.
Right, getting the children involved. Look for that.
Okay.
So you need time.
Okay.
If you do it right away, there's no time.
There's no game. Now it's a whole game. It's a whole cat and mouse game, right? Okay. So I saw three explanations. One very practical and two based on interesting halachas. In source number 5, the Beis Yosef quotes the Kolbo, was one of the Rishonim. He says very simply, what do we start Magid with? Huh? Lachmanya. We start. This is poor man's bread. So how do we show that's poor man's bread? You break the matzah. So when you say the halachmanya, poor man's bread, we already want the bread to be poor. We already want it to be ma ani beprusa, afkan beprusa. So we break it right away. Very practical. Very practical pshat. There's another reason. It's very interesting. There's a gemara in Brachos. A very interesting gemara. The gemara writes in source 6, the bottom of what's written here is page 3, but it's really page 1. For our zoomers, here we go. The Gemara says like this: Heviu lefanav psisin ushleimin. You have at your table full loaf of bread, a full roll, and sliced bread. What should you make your hamotzi on? Full bread. Let's say the slice is bigger than the full loaf. Do we go based on size, largeness, or completeness? So it's machlokas in the Gemara. You can't go wrong. He should have just said machlokas. Amar Rav Huna. I tell my students, if you're ever not sure the answers, write machlokas. You're good. That's why I don't. In my multiple choice, I don't have machlokas as an option. I say Rav Huna says like this, or Papa says like this, or Rav Huna says like this, or Papa says like that. So you can't just write machlokas. I always wrote machlokas. C was the every multiple choice answer in Gemara. Always. Amar Rav Huna. So pevilus nam psisin ushleimin. They bring in front of you pieces and a full loaf. And the Mefarshim say, it's talking about when the pieces are larger than the loaf. So Rav Huna says you go based on size. Size. Largeness. Largeness trumps fullness or wholeness. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Shlema mitzvah minimum. No, the complete loaf is the better, is the more ideal, is the more lechachila. Aval prusa shel chitin u'shlema min ha'orim. If you have a piece of chita, of wheat, bread, and you have a full loaf of barley bread, so barley is much less chashuv, so then divrei hakol mevarech al pruta prusa shel chitin. So obviously there, the piece is more chashuv than the loaf. Okay? So you have a very interesting gemara now. Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, the top of page 4. The Yare Shamayim Yotzei Deshnein. If you are full of fear of heaven, so then do both. Fulfill both opinions. Umanu, who did that? Marbered Ravina. The Marbered Ravina, Meniach Prusa Besoch HaShleimo Botzeh. So you know what he did? He would do both. He would take the piece, he put the piece together with the loaf, he would pick them both up together, and he would make his amotzi, and therefore, either way, you're okay. He's not having to choose sides in that machlokas. What? Which one did he eat? Maybe he took a piece of, he probably took a piece of both. He broke at that point the full. Maybe he took a bite. I don't know. That's a good question. Tani Tana Kamedi Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So a Tana taught in front of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak the same thing. Meniach HaPrusa B'soch HaShoyim HaBotzei HaMavarech. You put the piece together with the whole loaf and make a bracha. Omar Le Mashmecha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, what's your name? Omar Le Shalman. My name is Shalman. Amar le shalom ata, you're full of peace. The shlema mishnah secha, and your teachings are full. Shesamta shalom ben atalmidim, you brought peace amongst the two opinions. The opinion of Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, you didn't have to choose sides in the machlokes. What you did was givaldik. It was great. You brought peace. You minimized machlokes. You did both. But says Rav Papa, kol modim be Pesach, everyone agrees on Pesach. Shemeniach prusa besoch shleima obutzeh. Even if you don't hold of this opinion, on Pesach you hold that. That's what we do, right? We take for the bracha of matzah, the broken piece, together with the full piece, right? That's what we do on Pesach, because lechem oniksiv.
Is that why you take the middle matzah?
We'll get to that in a minute. So the Ran explains that you see from this Gemara, the issue is only if it's already broken. If it's already broken, and then you have a broken one, which is bigger, and a loaf, then you have a shiloh, which one should you use? But if they're both full at the time when you make a bracha, you can't break one. Right? We have a machlokas. What do you do? How do you handle if you have a broken piece, a slice, and a loaf? Which wins out? But if both are full, you don't see from this Gemara that you could now minimize the full loaf and make it into a slice and make it into a broken piece. So says the Ran, if that's the case, you can't start with two loaves and after you wash, break the matzah. It would be awesome to do that. You can't minimize the value of making a bracha on the full piece. So therefore, you have to break it earlier, 2 hours earlier. Now it's a broken piece. You have a broken piece and a full piece. So what should you do? So meniach prusa b'soch hashlema, put them together. So it's based on that halacha, says the Ran. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they could say the bracha. We won't do it inside. He gives another halachic reason. He says, it's very interesting at the Seder, we have a huge break between the Kiddush and the Suda. Normally you need Kiddush b'makom Suda. Kiddush b'makom Suda doesn't just mean have Kiddush in the place where you eat. It's also in the same time frame. You can't have a long gap. You can't come home on a Shabbos, make Kiddush, and then an hour and a half later have your meal. That's not Kiddush b'makom Suda. It has to be some sense of immediacy. At the Seder, though, we make Kiddush. We don't do matzah for another hour and a half, 2 hours. It's a long, long break. Why is that okay? So the reason that's okay is because the Haggadah, Magid, and Hallel are part of the night. So what we do is we break the matzah to show that what we're doing now is part of the meal. It's part of the matzah. The matzah we're breaking to show that what we're doing is part of the Seder, and therefore it's not considered a hefsik in your Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And he quotes the Novominska Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away around a year ago. He says, that's how we break it. Why don't we just bring a broken piece? Why do you have to break it? Honestly, if you open your box of matzahs, you'll find plenty of broken pieces. It's much easier to find broken pieces than... So matzahs lachamoni, one, because if you buy enough matzah, you become poor. And two, because none of the pieces are full. Last year, I had to go through like four boxes to find three full matzahs. Right. Yeah. So he says, that's why you break it. It's not enough to just have broken matzah. If it's just lachamoni, bring broken matzah to the table. You break it to show that we're doing something to connote that it's all part of the suda. It's not a break. It's not a hefsek. It's kiddush b'makom suda. Okay? So that's why we break the matzah early. Which matzah do we break? So it's actually machlokas rishonim. We paskin, can't go wrong, see. We paskin and we break the middle matzah, but in fact the smag and the sefer kach say break the top matzah. Why would you break the top matzah? Eim avir and al mitzvos. Eim avir and al mitzvos. We don't pass our matzah. That's why Friday night, the halacha is, you're supposed to use the bottom challah. That's the halacha Friday. Shabbos morning, use the top challah. Friday, use the bottom challah. The halacha is, you're supposed to, when you make the bracha, hold the bottom challah out a little bit. Otherwise, the top challah, you're pushing it to the side. Eim avir and al mitzvos. So, some Rishonim learn the smag, the rokeach, make the bracha, split the top matzah, because otherwise it's ein mavir and al mitzvos. Comes along the Mordechai in source number 10, and he says, no. He says, what mitzvah is there? What's the mitzvah? What's the real mitzvah at Pesach night? The bracha, matzah. Matzah. The breaking is not, so which matzah do you want to use for motzi matzah? The top. So the eim avir al mitzvos would be to not use, to break the top one. You want the first matzah, you want to use for your mitzvah. So no problem, eim avir al mitzvos. So says the Mordechai, quoting from Rishonim, he says, therefore, you break the middle matzah, breaking the matzah, lechemoni, it's not a mitzvah. It's to show that the bread is lechemoni. There'll be other deeper reasons we'll see in a little bit. There's no mitzvah, so it's not a problem of eim avir al mitzvos, and that's how we paskin. On the bottom of the top of page 5, no, that's how we paskin. We paskin in l'halacha that we use, the one thing that we use, we break the middle matzah. There'll be other reasons we'll get to a little bit later. I'll derek drush.
But then it should be the bottom one.
Oh, no, so they say to use the bottom one would be ein mavir and al mitzvos. On the middle one. Wait, you want to say according to which opinion? According to the opinion that we break the top or the middle? You use the top one, which is the full matzah, and the broken matzah. Right. There's a machlokas rishonim, which we're not going to get to, whether you need two matzahs or three matzahs. Normally you need lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah is two whole loaves. So that's why we pask, we don't know what to do. It's a machlokas rishonim. If you only have two matzahs and you broke one, you don't have your lechem mishnah. So that's why we do the three. This way you have your broken matzah to fulfill lechem oni, and you still have two full matzahs to fulfill lechem mishnah, which you need on yontif. Right. If you drop one, the whole... right. Good. Now, let's... I want to share a fascinating minog, which I saw, which I think is very, very inspiring. It's in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch writes that you break the matzah, and you put one away for Afikomen, and the other one you put under some covering. Right? A matzah cover. A matzah... What do you call it? No, I'm saying, the three-prong, the matzah bag, it's not a bag, it's the zach with the matzah, right, fine. So, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a fascinating minog. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why does the Shulchan Aruch say you put a tachas hamapa, zecher l'masha omer, mishar osam, tsroros besim losam. What's that referring to? Mary, you're the Baal, you're the master Balkori over here?
Very familiar.
Parshas Bo? Yes. When was the last time you taught Parshas Bo? Okay, we'll give him a pass. The pasuk in source 16 says, "It's your bar mitzvah parsha."
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, which
pasuk? Mazel tov, parsha's bow. Source 16. I'm going to scroll down here for those on Zoom. Thanks, Chevra. Source 16 is the pasuk in parsha's bow. Vayisa ha'am bitzeko teram yichmas. Klal Yisrael took the dough before it rose. Mishar osam, the leftovers. Tsururos were bound up, besim lo sam, in their clothing, al shechmam, upon their shoulders. What's the leftovers? Leftover what? They left from Chaim. What leftovers they have? Korban Pesach? Can't be Korban Pesach. What does the pasuk say? Lo sosiri menu aboker. You couldn't have anything left over from the Korban Pesach. So what was the leftovers that they took out on their shoulders? They had it in their clothing on their shoulders. What leftovers? Yeah, so the Rashi quotes the Chazal, Mishar Osam, Shiyare Matzah Maror, the leftovers of the Matzah and the Maror. Very nice. They took it out. The Mechilta says, I don't understand. They had animals, right? They had animals. They had gold and silver. The animals helped carry. So why didn't they put the leftover maror and matzah for the animals to carry? So says the Mechilta, you see in source 18, the Bible of source 18, Rabbi Nassan Omer, the second to last line, V'chilo haisa sham behema, V'rei kvar nema, V'gam erev rav, Allah itam v'tsonu bakar. They had animals. Umatam alomer ashechmam. Why they have the leftover matzah mar in clothing in a sack on their shoulders? Ella shahad Yisrael mechavvinas hamitzvos. The mitzvos were so special, were so precious, were so chashuv to them. The leftover matzah mar, they didn't want to have the animals carry that. They wanted to carry them. They're fleeing for their life. 210 years. They have gold and silver, which is going to allow them to survive. Right? When they're escaping, maybe bribe off, or they need to bribe off, get food, whatever. And that was with the animals, and they carried the leftovers. Reb Chatzko Levenstein, the famed Mashkiach, the Mir Shiva, as they escaped to Shanghai, and then ultimately in Panovich, in Bnei Brak, in his Haggadah, they tell that at the Seder, he would say, you see from here the godless, the greatness of those who left Mitzrayim. Called kispam v'zahavam hinichu al chamorayim. The gold and silver that they left with the donkey, that the donkey carried, uma nasu al shichmam, what they put on their shoulders to take out, shiurei matzah, the leftover matzah and maror. It wasn't the actual matzah. It was the leftovers. It was an item that was used for a mitzvah. That's how chashav it was for them. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, there's a minhag, I've never seen this. I don't know if anyone has seen this. There's a minhag to put the matzah and maror, says the Mishnah Berurah in source 15, there's a minhag to put the matzah, the broken matzah, on your shoulder in some kind of, I don't know how it stays there. I guess you have really broad shoulders. I don't know. But you can't use tape. I don't know what you do. Maybe take like a string bag. String bag? He used to do this? What'd he do? Oh, yeah, maybe put it under the kittel, it could stay. They take a bag as if they're leaving. So this is different. That's Kailadim Laharos Asatzman, the Rambam says. You have to show, as not to see it yourself as if you're leaving. You have to show that you're leaving. This is a little different. This is as a zecher to Klal Yisrael's chashivos of mitzvos, that they didn't leave the, not even the matzah, the leftover matzah, they wouldn't, the gold and silver the animals could take, the leftover matzah and maror, they took out on their shoulders, the pasuk says. So there's a minhag quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. I've never seen this, but Charlie's final trial. You kept the minhag on?
Yeah.
You will this year. Amazing. So that's, I think, a very interesting minhag related to this broken matzah that we break after yachatz. We're going to skip for tonight. There's an interesting discussion about using your hand to break it as opposed to a knife. You might make a cleaner break if you use a knife. The poskim say a knife should not be used. We're not going to get into that tonight. You can take a look in the sources later. For challah. Yeah, that's the river. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the Rivos Ephraim, asked this exact kasha. You can take a look in source 22. I can talk it out afterwards with you if you want. Because challah, the opposite. You're supposed to use a knife. Good. I want to. That's all the pshat. That's the pshat. Why we break it? When we break it? Why we break the middle matzah? There are some beautiful insights what yachatz represents. What I'd like to share in the remaining time we have here, and I'd like to share four insights. Number one, the Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, he has such an interesting take. There's a fascinating Gemara in Shabbos in Afpei Tesam Abez. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Banecha Chatuli, Avram, your children sinned. And Avraham Avinu, shockingly, counterintuitively, says, destroy him. Avram, who's the ultimate Rachman, the Chesed, says, destroy them. Have no Rachmanus. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, let me go to Yaakov Avinu. Maybe Yaakov Avinu will have more to say about Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu had Tsar Gidol Banim. Interesting, so did Avraham, Yishmael. Okay, that's a kashi you could ask in that Gemara. Not for now. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, let me go to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had Tsar Gidol Banim. He struggled with raising children. He had a, right? Yaakov Avinu, what they did, they sold Yosef, Dina. Maybe Yaakov will have Rachmanus. He says to Yaakov Avinu, Banecha Chatu, your children Yaakov sinned. Amar Lafanav, Yimachu al Kedusha Hashemecha. Destroy them. Kiddush Hashem, they sinned, destroy Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not what I'm looking for. It's not what I'm looking for. Lo Basavi Taimav, Lo Bituta Eitzah. That's not what I'm looking for. So he goes, let me go to Yitzchak. So he goes to Yitzchak. He says, Banecha Chatu, your children sinned. Yitzchak says, Ribono Shalom, God, Banai V'lo Banecha, they're my children, they're not your children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened when they said Nasa V'nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bini B'chori, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said Klal Yisrael's your children, wait, your children? Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your children, right? It's like when the wife gets angry and says, your kids did this, it's your kids also. Yaakov Avinu says to Kadosh Baruch, what are you talking about? Sorry, Yitzchak says. So Yitzchak says, how much did they sin? Let's talk tachlis. How bad is it? What are their report cards? How long does a person live? 70 years, right? Shivim shana. So Yitzchak says, well, the first 20 years don't count. We know Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the first 20 years. You're not bar onshin. So now you're left with 50 years. Okay? 50 years, he says, you have to cut it in half because half the time is night. Now, some people sin at night. But you sleep, you're relaxing, there's less time to sin. So he says, you got to cut it in half. So now you're left with 25 years. He says, half of your day, and this is rather, rather interesting, half your day is spent davening, eating, and in the bathroom. That's what he says. No, they're out of house, you have to go to the bathroom. Davening is half your day? Well, it's half of the 12 hours. Half of it was already cut. You have 12 hours. 6 of those hours are davening. Interesting. Also, parenthetically, the Gemara says in Brachos that the Chassidim showed him. They daved an hour, waited an hour before, an hour afterwards. So that doesn't really work with this calculation. But Yitzchak says half your day is davening, eating. Half the 12 hours is davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. So what do you have left? No, you left 12 and a half. 70 minus 20 is 50. Cut in half, night times 25. Now it's 12 and a half. So Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's split it, 50-50. I'll take half, you take half. So what are we talking? We're talking about 6.5 years? Okay. He says, if you want to split it, great. If not, I was willing to die for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, you're right, I'm going to save Klal Yisrael. The language of Yitzchak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you take a look, it's four lines from the bottom. Dal tarti sari apaga, take away 12 and a half years. Tzaluye umechal udubesakise, from eating, drinking in the bathroom. Pashulu tarti sari apaga, 12 and a half years are left. Imatas sovel is cool. If you'll take all of it, muta, that's great. Vimla, if you won't take all of it, palgi alai upalgi alecha. We'll split it. Says the Munkach Rebbe, we split the matzah to remind ourselves of what Yitzchak Avinu did to save us. And guess which matzah we split?
The middle
matzah, which represents Yitzchak. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The top matzah the Mefarshim say is Avram, the middle is Yitzchak, the bottom is Yaakov. We split the matzah to remind ourselves of the Mesiris Nefesh that Yitzchak had. He put his neck on the line for Klal Yisrael by telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll split it with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll take half of whatever that means exactly, you're going to do to them, it's on me, I'll take it, split it in half, we split the matzah in half. And fascinatingly, the word of in the Seder is yachatz. Yes, Michi, it's not a word, I apologize. You don't have to relax. You're also the guy that's going to tell me my title's wrong. Because the title is putting together the broken pieces. It should be putting broken pieces together. The lawyer, you charged me $700 for that mistake. Okay, next time I'll call you before. Sorry, you're right. We split it. Interestingly, the word yachatz is interesting. It could be lechalik, leshaber, to break, to split. Yachatz, very interesting. What letters do you see in Yachatz? Very similar to Yitzchak. Three of the four letters. Yitzchak, Yachatz. We do Yachatz. We split the matzah to remind us, unbelievable, to remind us of that mysterious nefesh of Yitzchak. He put his neck on the line for Klai Yisrael. Pal Gielai, Pal Gielecha. We'll split those 12 and a half years. We split the matzah.
He was literally...
Right? Good. That's one pshat. Let me tell you another pshat, which is unbelievable. There is a lot said in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Chassidish Svarim, how matzah represents our marriage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Zohar like that, and it's even in Halacha. The Abu Draham says, we know the Gemara. The Gemara says that kol ochel matzah be'erev Pesach, anyone who eats matzah in Erev Pesach, kilu bo'el arusasu be'ischam, it's as if they are sleeping with their arusa, the person they're engaged to in the house of their father-in-law. The Gemara, the Abu Draham, quotes a Yerushalmi that says, what's this comparison? And Abu Draham, the Yerushalmi says that just like a Kala and Chasen can't be together unless they're Sheva Brachos, Kala below Bracha, Asura Labaila, the Gemara says in Kesuvis, without the Sheva Brachos at the Chuppah, they can't be together. So too, Matzah can't be eaten until they're Sheva Brachos. What Sheva Brachos are there? The Abu Draham says, the Bracha of Yayin, Bar Per Gefen, Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim. Help me out. It's been a year, I know. You're not drunk by then. Shechianu, Bar Per Adama, Bar Per Gefen at the end of Magid, and Motzi Matzah. No? Seven brachos. What? What Kali Yisrael?
Before the
second cup. There's a bracha above Kali Yisrael?
Yes.
Okay. There's a bracha? Okay, maybe Abu Draham had a different girsa. Maybe Abu Draham had a different girsa? Okay, I don't know. You're right. Why does he not count? Mitch, I'm not sure. I have to take a look. Maybe he had a different girsa. But a seven bracha, seven brachos out of matzah, because it represents the fact that matzah represents our marriage, our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we need seven brachos. Just like a chasen and kala are together, so too we need seven brachos before matzah. Rav Avram Shor Shlita in his Haggadah Lekach V'Alibuv says very interesting. The Kaf HaChaim says when you break the matzah and yachatz, and if you could do this, that'd be very impressive. You should break it so that one piece is shaped like a dalet, and one piece is shaped like a vav. A dalet and a vav. Why? Why a dalet and a vav? So Rav Avram Shor says, Ein lanu esek b'nistaros. We don't get busy with nistar, with Kabbalah. But let me tell you a pshat. That's what he says. Ein lanu esek b'nistaros. But it's our marriage. Matzah is our marriage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's our marriage. The Gemara says in Kiddusha, in the beginning of the second parak, a phrase explaining it about marriage and women get married, who can appoint the shliach? Tav lemesav tan du mi lemesav armalu. It's a famous line beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. Tav lemesav tan du. Dal vav, du is the marriage. So we break the matzah in the letters dal vav to highlight this idea that it's our wife, it's our marriage. Matzah represents our marriage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the matzah is round. It's the ring. Says Rav Avram Shor, represent the ring, we're getting married. Matzah is our marriage. Rav Ari Marcus, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Reshit, where Jeff went, right? No, but your brother is famous in Reshit. We have other Reshit chaver here? No, but Ari Marcus, who near Lynn grew up with him, right? Young Israel. Staten Island. He's now the Rosh Yeshiva in Reshit. He has a beautiful Haggadah called From Despair to Destiny. It's incredible. And he quotes in here, and I'll read it to you. You can read it also. He says that Rav Hutner uncovers a source of many words, right? Lechem Oni is Lechem Sh'onim Alam Devarim Harbe, spoken over matzah in a way that may shed light on the meaning of Yachatz. Rav Hutner explains, Knesset Yisrael, Klai Yisrael became engaged, betrothed of God on the night of Exodus. That is when the passionate love of the Jewish people for its beloved was really sparked. This affection was marked by intense yearning for an absolute recognition of God's unity, which can neither be fully realized nor articulated until history is complete. When a woman cannot explicitly assert her innermost feeling and desire, notes Rav Hutner, what does she do? She voices a torrent of ideas and emotions to try to express her profound sentiments. This surge of verbalization, says Rav Hutner, is the nature of many words we speak over the matzah. Lechem shorim l'dorim harbe represents the idea when a woman can't, she doesn't know what to say, she explodes in just this emotion, this rant, it might, we don't really know exactly, she doesn't even know exactly what she's saying. She just expresses her emotions in that intense way. So he says that Rav Hunter's approach, our understanding of Yachatz is greatly enhanced. The matzah, with the Jews carried from Egypt into a barren wasteland in pursuit of closeness to God, embodies the tremendous love of Knesset Yisrael for its new king. We split the matzah to demonstrate that we can't fully express our love as long as we cannot wholly appreciate His perfect unity. We break the matzah. It's lechem she'onim alam dvarim harbe. We want to speak. We want to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a wife of her husband who can't really express herself and just breaks down and speaks and doesn't even know what to say. So too, matzahs lechem she'onim alam dvarim harbe. We break it as if to say, I don't even know what to say. I love you so much. I want to be so close with you. I don't even know how to articulate myself or express myself well enough. So we break the matzah. We break the aniyah, the lechem shonim l'dorim harbe, to express that sometimes we don't even know what to say when we're in this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And since matzah is the love, is the marriage, is the dalet vav, the break the matzah, dalet vav, it's round like the wedding ring. That's the idea, another idea, another insight of Yachatz. I have a few minutes. I'll share very quickly. Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful explanation of why we break the matzah. Totally different than what we started with. He says, you know, Shevet Levi did not work in Egypt. They weren't poor. They had. Their life was pretty good. Do you know what they did with their food? They broke off from their own food and gave it to their neighbor. Klal Yisrael, who was suffering, Klal Yisrael, who was poor, the Lechem Oni, each member of Shevet Levi who had, didn't just say, hey, I'm living a good life, I could relax, I could eat, I could have my bread. He broke from his bread and gave it to his neighbor. So we break the matzah to remind ourselves, says Rav Soloveitchik, we break it that if we want to be one, we want Klal Yisrael to survive. We want to cause Baruch Hu to take us out of Egypt. It's through the Achdus. The way to do that is break your own bread and give it to someone else. And that's why you break the matzah to represent that idea. And that's why Mefarshim say we start the Haggadah with in Halach Manya, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Why are we inviting them in? Why now? Sukkos we don't do that. Shavuos we don't do that. Yontif we don't. You write a check. Maos Chitin is Tom Chishabbos. We should all give to Maos Chitin and Tom Chishabbos. But Pesach, because the whole idea, Klal Yisrael survived through that Achdus. Shevet Levi broke their bread to give to someone else. But so too, we yachatz, we split them. Again, this is not pshat. Rav Avram Chaim Noah would be upset with this pshat. And Rav Soloveitchik was not giving fluffy pshatim, but it's a beautiful insight, break the matzah to represent that idea. Two more, just quick hits. Everyone loves gematria on Pesach. Everyone loves gematrias on Pesach. At least many people do. Matzah and gematria is, hit me, matzah and gematria? 135. 135 can't be split evenly, right? How do you split 135? 68 and 67. 68 is gematria of Chaim, and 67 is the gematria of Tovim. Matzah is Chaim Tovim. You can't split it in half. It's 68 and 67. You do Yachatz. It's a segula, says the Blush of a Rebbe, segula for Chaim Tovim. Matzah split in half, 68, 67, 68 Chaim, 67 Tovim. It's a segula for Chaim Tovim. Who doesn't love a good segula and a good gematria? Maybe another remez for Yachatz. And I'll close, for those who have children, this is unbelievable. Rav Aaron Goldscheider, who was a Rav in Jacksonville, Florida, and then in Mount Kisco, now living in Yerushalayim, has a beautiful Haggadah with the Torah of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, and Shlomo Karmach. A fascinating... It's great. He has one on Hanukkah now also, which is excellent. We were close. I spent a couple of summers in Jacksonville, Florida. That's actually where I met my wife. That's a story for another time. He quotes, we break the matzah at the beginning of the Seder, and who puts it back together? Who brings back the broken matzah? The children. So says Shlomo Karlach, the Afikomen, the broken matzah, represents brokenness in the world. There's so many broken hearts, broken lives, so many tears. This is true now more than ever. We're living in a world of yachatz. We're living in a world of brokenness. The world is fractured. And you know who can repair it? The only people that can repair it is the children, the next generation. Pesach Sigad V'Labimcha. So we break the matzah to represent the world, the reality that we're living in. And we have the children bring back the matzah. And I would suggest that when we do that at the Seder and they bring back the Afikomen, to tell them this. Tell them we're living in a world of yachatz. We all know people and communities and issues. We all have our own yachatz, our own brokenness. We tell the children, you, every single child is at our Seder, can be the one to bring the matzah together, to bring about the geula. We should represent, take these ideas, the idea of matzah, break the matzah, because we have to be one. If we have and others don't, break from your own matzah and give to others. To remember Yitzchak, Avinu, Pal Galai, Pal Galacha, split. He put his neck on the line to save Klal Yisrael. And so too, we break the matzah to show that. Chaim Tovim, it should be a segula for Chaim Tovim, 68, 67, can't be broken in half. And we break the matzah and have our children bring back the matzah, because they will be the ones to fix the brokenness. Have a good night. Have a chag kosher v'sameach. Thank you again to Nir and family, Evan and family, Yaakov and family. We will daven ma'ariv in 32 seconds.